It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Congress is expected to pass three long-awaited free trade deals today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's not often these days that Republicans and Democrats can agree on big economic issues, but today is likely to be an exception. Three long-delayed free trade deals with South Korea, Colombia, and Panama are likely to pass the House and the Senate. The pact with South Korea would be the biggest trade deal since NAFTA 16 years ago. Here's our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
The White House says the Korean deal will mean some $11 billion in new U.S. exports every year and will create or save 70,000 jobs. Since Korea has little agriculture, American farmers are looking for some new customers for everything from poultry to peanuts.
They eat a lot of pork.
Mary Nelson is vice president of Kemin Industries, which sells ingredients to Iowa pork farmers. She expects that lower tariffs on all kinds of meat will mean more exports, even though U.S. pork still won't be the cheapest on global markets.
I think U.S. pork is good pork. I think it's one of the best quality pork, and they like good pork.
Koreans also have a taste for U.S. dairy products. Cheesemakers are looking for a 50% increase in exports. And Koreans are hoping to sell more steel to American construction companies and semiconductors for American computers. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now to Detroit, where the news came in about an hour ago that the United Auto Workers Union has reached a tentative labor deal with Chrysler. Chrysler is the last of the big three American automakers to finish negotiations with the union. Alisa Roth covers the auto industry for Marketplace, and she joins me live now from New York with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do we know so far about this Chrysler deal?
Well, so far, we don't know most of the details, but here's what we do know. The UAW represents 26,000 Chrysler workers who will have to ratify the agreement. The new contract calls for the creation of 2,100 jobs by 2015. That's when this contract will expire. And it also calls for Chrysler to invest $4.5 billion in things like new and upgraded vehicles. I talked to Alex Colvin. He's a professor of labor relations at Cornell about this. He says part of the problem has been the relative financial health of the companies involved.
Ford was the one you'd look at from the union perspective as the richest target in a way. Chrysler is probably the weakest target here.
So that is that Ford theoretically has the most to give while Chrysler has the least.
And Alisa, these negotiations have been going on for a little while now. What was it the two sides were talking about?
This round of negotiations was really about getting back concessions. During the financial crisis, when GM and Chrysler both went bankrupt and Ford was teetering, the union gave up a lot to help save the industry. The biggest thing they agreed to was this two-tiered wage system, which lets carmakers pay new hires much less than current employees. But there were other things, too. And now that the auto industry is doing better, especially GM and Ford, the union has been very open about saying it's going to try to get those things back that it negotiated away.
Marketplace's Alisa Roth in New York. Thanks, Alisa.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up about 1% in Hong Kong and about 0.5% in London right now. Profits were up 4% last quarter at the food and beverage giant PepsiCo. The company said this morning it's offsetting the weak economies in North America and Europe with strong sales in emerging countries. On Wall Street yesterday, a mixed day. The Dow ended 16 points lower at 11,416.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. and by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
It's sort of unbelievable to hear this when the unemployment rate in this country is as high as it is right now, but almost 80% of American manufacturers are having trouble finding skilled workers for their factories. That's according to the latest study from the Manufacturing Institute. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner talked to one manufacturer who's trying to tackle that talent gap himself.
Jeff Kelly is CEO of Hamel Manufacturing in Trafford, Pennsylvania. His dad started the company in 1952, machining and welding metal parts, mostly for Navy submarines and aircraft carriers.
We actually started with the Nautilus, which was the very first nuclear submarine.
Kelly's company still makes parts for Navy ships. He employs about 130 people, but his baby boomer employees are retiring, and he can't find enough workers to take their place. Manufacturing, Kelly says, has an image problem.
Dull, unexciting, boring, maybe difficult.
Dirty and dangerous, too. But nowadays, this ain't your grandfather's factory, Kelly says. Most manufacturing floors are small, clean, and computerized. Kelly tells kids that when he scours local high schools for future employees.
We start looking at kids when they're in their ninth grade. We talk to the teachers, and we find out who's a potential young person that would come into our business.
For Kelly's company, that means kids who aced trigonometry and have good spatial acuity and mechanical skills. Emily DeRocco, president of the Manufacturing Institute, argues this talent shortage has serious implications.
We cannot sustain as a nation a strong economy if we don't continue to be a nation that makes things.
CEO Jeff Kelly is training 10 young apprentices right now, a refreshing addition to his aging workforce. The average age in manufacturing, around 45. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, to General Mills, which has been working for years to reduce the sugar content of kids' cereals from around 15 grams per serving down to 10. The company makes Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Trix, and
Chocolate Lucky Charms!
They're magically delicious!
Well, maybe not so magically delicious without the sugar. A top General Mills official told the Wall Street Journal that if the company cuts the sugar content anymore, nobody will want to eat what's left behind. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Anopheles finestis, a humble mosquito, the most efficient and costly carrier of malaria that there is.
Malaria consistently costs the subcontinent of Africa over $40 billion a year because one out of four members of the workforce is absent due to malaria.
I'm Kai Rizdal, changing the world one dead mosquito at a time. It's next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.